gets back. And he said, you know, even if, Lord, if we could have that kind of thought in our head, even if things aren't perfect, but even if, I know it doesn't look quite like I wanted to look, but even if, it's not how I thought it was all going to turn out, but even if, God, I love you anyway. Y'all stand up. I can't, look at y'all sit down. It's got me nervous. Stand up. I want you to look at somebody and say, even if. I want y'all to sing that again, and I want y'all to just go around and just shake somebody's hand and come back to your seat. Go ahead.
I know the sorrow and I know the battle. It's just go away if you just sit alone. But even if you don't, my hope is you.
Lay your hands on me. Lay your hands on me. Isn't God good? Lay your hands on me. All right, where'd you go? Where, oh, where is the mousey at? Oh, where can it be? There it is. Get rid of that. Save. Lay your hands on me. I'm going to get y'all to stand up. I'm going to tell about the dog. And then we'll have a special prayer for the dog. And y'all, okay? Isn't God good? I want y'all to listen. Brother Benny's here. Matter of fact, if you get lost, he's the man you want to know. Amen. Look, if he can't find you, either it's because you can't be found or your spouse gave him a better offer. Y'all go ahead, stand up. Introduce yourself. Tell everything what's going on, y'all. Awesome. Amen. Yeah. All right, quickly, what we're going to do is we're going to pray a little prayer for these folks, and especially for these dolls, because, you know, this is not an easy task that they do. And I'd like to think that if I was lost or my kids were lost, that I could call them and they could find them. Or my mother-in-law, you know, because she has Alzheimer's. If she was to get lost, I would like to know that I could call on these guys. They could help me find her. So this is a very valuable and valiant service that they provide. And I thank God for these young men and women. Amen. Amen. Yes, I like to think about it. You know, Billy Graham was on the way to preach a crusade, and he asked this little boy, he said, "Excuse me, son, can you tell me which way the post office is?" And he said, "It's right down this road." He said, "Down that road, so yeah, and take a right, left, whatever." He said, "One more time," and he told him, "And I want you to come out tonight, and I'll tell you how to find Jesus." He said, "No, thank you. If you can't find the post office, I'm pretty sure you can't find Jesus." All right, let's pray for them. Y'all, we're going to pray for you. Everybody, put your hands up, and for the dogs, because the dogs are awesome. Y'all seen the dog? We're going to have, did you bring a demonstration for today? All right, you want to say anything about the dog before we? Go ahead. Go ahead and tell me. Yeah, after service, we're going to have somebody get lost. That's going to be cool. All right, let's pray. Lord, touch these young men, young women, these volunteers, Lord, that spend so much of their time training and going out and spending volunteering their time to go find people all over the state and wherever they may be led. I ask you right now, Lord, to bless them. Lord, to minister to them down east. Lord, just bless them in a very powerful way. And we know, God, your hand is upon them. Keep them safe. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And touch these dogs. Help them to come up and do right. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, if you got your Bible, I really don't know exactly. Last week I just did. Why am I fighting? That's what I'm going to do. Don't have to get your Bible out. Just stand up. Just stand up. We're going to pray, and then we're going to talk. For somebody that was here last week, tell somebody that's was not here last week, get ready. This is part two of last week. Amen. All right, ready? Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you, God, for all you do for us, Lord. We thank you, God, that your hand is upon us, Lord. We thank you, God, for this church. We thank you for this opportunity to be here, God, and worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. And I ask you right now, Lord, to touch each and every person here. Bless them beyond blessed. And Lord, let us all capture or be captured by you today, Lord, and capture something that you have to say to us, Lord. Let us not leave here the same as we came. And when I say not leave the same as we came, let it be more positive than it's ever been. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and we love you. The church said, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. Now, last week we started on how to, matter of fact, this started out as I was going to preach this some other time, and I thought about homecoming, and the Lord started speaking to me. So I said, okay, Lord, we'll go this way. That's no problem. And then last week it started. It was supposed to be this week, but last week we started it. Home should be a safe place. Amen. But not only your home, your job, any relationship you have with anybody should be safe. Amen. So it's making home safe to come to. Homecoming. Amen. A little play on words. You know, Father O'Grady was saying his goodbyes to the parishioners after his Sunday morning service, as he always did when Mary Clancy came up to him in tears. And he said, "What's bothering you, dear?" asked Father O'Grady. "Oh, Father, I've got terrible news," replied Mary. "My husband passed away last night." "Oh, Mary," said the good father, "that's terrible. Tell me, Mary, did he have any last request?" "Yes," Mary replied sheepishly. "Well, what did he say?" "He said, honey, please put the gun down." Making home a safe place. All right. Okay. I'll kind of put some salve on that one. Okay. Lady Astor once said to Winston Churchill, "If I was your wife, I would put poison in your coffee." And Churchill replied, "If you were my wife, I would drink it." All right. Here we go. Last week we started on making home a safe place. I'm just gonna tell you where we're at last week, and then we're going to go into this week. And this is some good stuff. It'll make you grow. Amen. This is good fertilizer. It'll help you to grow. So last week we talked about the slingers. Now the slingers back in the day, back in ancient Hebrew times, these guys were some awesome guys. David was a slinger. I didn't say swinger. I said slinger. Amen. That was later with Bathsheba. He became a swinger, but then he was a slinger. All right. The Bible scholars got that. Okay. David was a slinger. The slingers actually could sling a rock 100 yards at over 150 miles an hour. As they started getting better and better and coming out with different types of weapons that were made that they slung, by the time the medieval times come, the slingers could hit you with their stones that they made and the slings that they made, and they could hit you with the same impact of a 44 Magnum. That's some powerful stuff. Now, these guys would come along, and they would come around as people were actually behind the city walls. They had all their stuff on the outside, all the agriculture on the outside. And what they would do is the people barricaded themselves inside the city walls. What the slingers would do is the slingers would actually throw rocks on the farmland to dry it up, to ruin the crops, to destroy the crops and make it unable to be grown again. They would tear down the orchards. These are just slingers. They could tear down the orchards. But the biggest thing they would do is they would fill the wells. They would take the stones and fill the wells. And so the people had no choice but to come out. So they slung the stones, stopped at the wells. Home was no longer a safe place. Now, we've got a lot of people this day and time can say, do not raise your hand, please. But does anybody here know where there is a home that is no longer a safe place? Amen? Maybe not physically, or maybe it's mentally, or maybe it's emotionally, but it's that's going on. And we talked about the three stones last week. So you clocked up your wheels and chucked the life out of you. Come on, let's get going here. All right, here we go. The slingers, there was three stones that they would sling. And in relationships, this was all last week. This is the last slide. Selfishness, wherever there's jealousy or selfish ambition, there'll be disorder and every other kind of evil, James 3:16. Resentment, watch out that no bitterness takes root among you, for as it springs up, it causes trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. And fear, the anxious heart weighs a man down, Proverbs 12:25. Slingers do three things to a relationship. They cause you to be defensive, they cause you to be distant, and they cause you to be demanding. So if you've got a worker, a co-worker that is defensive, distant, or demanding, or you find yourself being distant, defensive, or demanding, somebody is slinging some stones in your well. Amen? Somebody's stopping up the flow of God in your life. So now, we're going on now to this week. Now, I told you last week was mainly about all kinds of relationships, and today is about all kinds of relationships, but the biggest target in this relation or in this relationship sermon today, last week was general, today the target is marriage. Now it can count for any kind of relationship you've got, but the target is marriage. And so today, this sermon is going to not be talking about the slingers necessarily, but this one is going to be talking about the four horsemen of a relationship. Now, how many's heard of the four horsemen in Revelation? Matter of fact, if you look in Revelation, you'll see the white horse is war, the black horse is famine, the red horse is pestilence, and the pale horse is death. It's kind of hard when you're colorblind. You're looking over there. Benny, come help me. Praise God. So if we could kind of take this and make this, let me change this now. I said the four horsemen of relationships. Y'all watch this carefully. I just want you to see something here. This could be some of y'all sitting here right now, but this is what you would actually see. Watch out. Hold on. Here it goes. It ain't through yet. The four horsemen of relationships. Now, listen carefully. If you'd like to take notes, I hope you take notes, because now I'm going to take the four horsemen from Revelation, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to put it in with relationships that we have between our spouses and with our children and with other people, but especially between our spouses. All right, watch this now. Number one, the number one horse is criticism. Criticism. Anybody here do not point? Please do not point. Does anybody in here have a critical spirit? Or does anybody in here know someone that has a critical spirit? Again, do not raise your hand. Just wink at me. Are you sitting beside somebody with a critical spirit? Amen. Henny Youngman. How many like Henny Youngman? Henny Youngman said, my wife dresses to kill and she cooks the same way. Rhonda Dangerfield said, my wife and I were happy for 20 years. Then we met. Okay. Criticism. Horse number one is criticism. War begins. You're in your home. Everything's going fine. But the honeymoon is definitely over. The honeymoon is far, far in a galaxy, far, far away. Now, because of the number one horse, the white horse, criticism, watch this, war begins. Criticism goes beyond legitimate complaining. I'm going to tell you the difference. Because when you start to criticize, now you're starting to add negative words and you're starting to add negative remarks like, you always, you never, who are you anyway? I know some of y'all right then winked. Please don't wink anymore. Complaints are okay. A complaint is actually when there's a reality, there's something wrong, and you're expressing your unmet needs. Complaining is okay because complaining deals with situations. You know, I was up somewhere one day and I told somebody something. I was somewhere and they said, well, are you happy with the service that you got? And I said, no, I was not. And they said, why? And I said, because the food was cold and it was slow getting here and blah, blah, blah. And they said, we're sorry, sir. Then they kept on going on about the things. I said, listen, I'm not criticizing you because I'd be talking about y'all. I'm talking about the service and the food I got. It was too cold to eat once I got it. So I was complaining about a reality without saying, and that sorry waiter that you had. See, now I've gone from complaining to criticizing. All right? So complaints are okay. It's reality. All right? But criticism is a personal attack. It's accusing. Now you put the person in a position to receive a direct hit or to become defensive. And when this happens, remember, war begins. You may not think it, you may not see it that way, but war is brewing in your marriage, war is brewing in your relationship. Once you feel the other person feels like they're taking that direct hit, they're having to become defensive. And when you do this, when you criticize people, look what happens. You put them in a no-win scenario, and it's aimed at the character of the person, and it's extremely damaging to your relationship. If you're going to complain to me, that's one thing. You know, watch this. Well, honey, I thought we were going to have supper tonight, and I hadn't heard from you, and I was really starting to get worried because you weren't here. But I'm glad to see you home now. That's complaining. But the same person walks in the door and they go, you jerk. You knew I wanted to have supper with you tonight. Couldn't you have called? What do you think I am anyway? You think I'm just sitting around here waiting for you? Ugh. Fellas, please quit looking around. Some of y'all are just looking down. Some of y'all are looking up. Some of the ladies are going, get him, get him, get him. So watch this. How do you handle criticism? Watch this. You learn to complain without suggesting your partner is defective. That's how you do it. Yes, we were going to have supper tonight. Dear, I was expecting you here, and I was praying that nothing happened to you because you said you would be here at 5 o'clock, and you even called me and told me you were going to be here at 5 o'clock, so I've got the food on the table, and it's 6. I know there has to be a good reason, but I just want you to know I was praying for you, and I'm going to have to reheat the food. That's complaining. Okay? Because you know what? It could be that your spouse on the way home saw somebody with a flat tire, got out of their car, and helped somebody with a flat tire. There was one man back in the, I think it was in the, I can't remember if it was 50s or the 60s or when it was, but it was back when there was a lot of racial tension. This white man comes along and sees this black lady on the side of the road with a flat tire. And it's pouring rain, and she's just sitting there. She didn't have a cell phone. There's no way to call anybody. And so he gets out and says, ma'am, can I take care of it? What's wrong? She's got a flat tire. He says, I'll take care of it for you. Well, he gets out and finds out that her spare tire's flat. So he gets her car, her tire out. He goes and he finds the nearest gas station. He gets the tire patched. He gets the tire filled up. He's soaking wet. He comes back. and he puts the tire on, and then he follows her down the road a little bit, and she's all to pieces anyway. She's already crying. And so he gets her down the road. He kind of follows her till he's got to turn off. And before she gets in her car, she says, "Sir, can I pay you for what you did?" He said, "No, ma'am, you cannot pay me." She said, "I'm in such a hurry, but I honestly can pay you if you'll let me." He said, "Ma'am, you don't owe me anything." She said, "Well, can you at least do me a favor?" He said, "What's that?" He said, "Can you at least give me your name and your address?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am, I will." So he told her his name and told her his address. Well, that was the end of that story, he thought. And about a month later, he gets a knock on the door. As he gets a knock on the door, there's this humongous, great old big humongous color TV out there waiting in the delivery man, waiting to deliver this humongous color TV to him. And as he goes to get this TV, he goes, "Who in the world? I didn't order this." He said, "No, a special delivery to you." And so he opens it up and he looks and he says, "Remember me? You changed my tire. Matter of fact, you went the extra mile to take care of my tire." He says, "I was on the way to take care of my dying husband. He died that night, but because of you, I could get there in time enough to kiss him before he died." Mrs. Nat King Cole. Wow. But getting back to this thing, you never know what's going on. You know, I told my wife sometimes, I'm in Walmart. She says, "Put a bag over your head so you can get out of there." I know some people have to put a bag on their head so they can get in there. All right. Okay. "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the believers." So horse number one, the war begins in your home when you begin. Remember, not complaining. Complaining is all right. But remember, I should tell you how I feel without tearing you apart. And I should talk about the problem, not the person. Okay? Now, horse number two. I like what George Burns said. George Burns said, I was married by a judge. I should have asked for the jury. Milton Berle said, a good wife forgives her husband when she's wrong. All right, that one kind of sat down hard. Okay. How about this? Phyllis Diller said, "Never go to bed mad. Stay up and fight." All right. Contempt. Horse number two, famine. Once you get past criticism, and then there starts coming contempt. When it gets to contempt, this is the deterioration of any marriage, anybody. No matter if you're born again or not, no matter what religious background you've got, if you're spiritual, non-spiritual, it doesn't matter. Even atheists, it does not matter. If these things are going on in your marriage, it will destroy your marriage. Horse number two, contempt, famine. Now the behavior or the relationship begins to waste away. Why? Because contempt is sarcasm. Get ready. I don't want to see any of this while I'm talking. Ready? Eye rolling, hostile humor, insults, disgust, disrespect, and it's fueled by this long, simmering negativity from unresolved differences that makes resolution impossible. All it does is lead to more conflict. Wow. Think about it. Think about the times that you were ready to make up, kiss and make up, and by the time your spouse got through with you, you didn't want to kiss and make up. You wanted to bolt and run. Amen? You say, watch this. See, when criticism fails to bring about the results we're looking for, we start to resent our spouse and even become hostile toward them. We even begin to devalue them. You know, how do we take care of this instead of having contempt? And now all of a sudden we've gone from criticism to now we've done started eye rolling and pouting and steam and all of this stuff. Well, how do we do it? How do we take care of this? Get ready. Watch this. Learn to create a culture of praise and respect. Learn to present or to create a culture of praise and respect. Do you know that the number one mega need of a man is honor? The number one main mega need of a woman is security. So in order for a woman to have security, she needs honestly to give her husband respect. But when the wife says, "You know what? My daddy was right about you. You're about as sorry as they are. I don't even know how in the world we even got to the altar. There goes his respect." And then he goes, well, if you don't think any more of me than that, then why don't you just leave? There goes her security. And there it goes. And it just keeps rolling. It's called the dance. And you just keep dancing. And before long, you're no longer a partner's dancing. Now you're in separate rooms. So see, watch this. So what you do is you learn how to praise one another and show respect to one another. Well, I'm going to show you a little thing here. Do you know there's a 5-to-1 ratio? Some say 7-to-1. Some have even said 12-to-1. I've seen all different kinds of charts, and it's something that you're taking one class and say 5-to-1. You take another class, it says 7-to-1. You just got to remember what professor said what so you can get the right answer for him. 5-to-1. For every negative that comes out of your mouth, it takes 5 positives to start overcoming it. Think about this. Every time you talk to your spouse and whoever, and you say something negative, it takes at least 5 positives to overcome that negative, to even start changing the countenance of that other person. And so it's very important that we listen. I try to praise my kids. I try to praise my spouse, my people I'm around. I always try to say something good about them. Somebody even told me the other day, I said, you're looking good. I know you can't help it. They said, you tell everybody that. I said, no, I don't. He said, excuse me. I said, if I don't say that when I see you, you might want to go look in the mirror. I said, because I refuse to be negative. I just won't say anything. Amen. All right. So I see this. Ephesians 4:31, that all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for the church. This is good stuff, isn't it? Husbands, here's your brownie point time. Yeah, preacher, get on. All right, that's right. For a woman, a brownie point may last indefinitely. For a man, a brownie point has about a 10-minute shelf life. So, fellas, you better get loud. All right, ready? Here we go. The third horse, defensiveness. All right? So first, the war started. And then after the war started, a famine, the relationship began to waste away. And now, pestilence. Plague has taken over. The relationship now is infectious. Now it's kind of like, I'm not sure if I want to touch them or not. You know, back when I was in the first grade, oh, they got cooties. You know, that's one thing back in the first grade, they got cooties. Like, you know, I think it's so nice and sweet and cuddly, like little Liam down there, to take and part his lips and put that pacifier in his mouth is so awesome. Goo, goo, go, go, goo. But it gets disgusting when I got a part of mustache to do it. So watch this. Get ready. Defensiveness. Now it accelerates or escalates the negative, the critical, attacking conflict. And effective blaming your partner than accepting responsibility. It's all your fault! I heard somebody cackle then. All right. I bet they were saying, get some, preach. Get some. It's all your fault. If I hadn't have married you, if I hadn't have said yes to you, if I just didn't have to see you, just looking at you makes me want to vomit. It's all your fault. Now all of a sudden you've gotten very defensive. Now the problem, watch this now. Look, the problem isn't me, it's you. It's what you're telling. This ain't my problem, it's you. I've done everything right. You've done everything wrong. I've been perfect. When this is going on, if I've ever seen two people arguing, one person going, I didn't do anything wrong, and I know the situation, I know they'll allow me to do this without killing me. I've walked up with somebody before, and they were going, I didn't do anything wrong. Everything I did was perfect. Everyone wasn't messed up, and I watched them mess up, and I would go sing and put my arm around and said, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to lead you in a chorus to your favorite song. And go, all right, ready. I say, ready. I put my arm around and go, how great I am. How great I am. Everybody messes up. There's not one person in here that does not mess up. There's not one person in here that doesn't have times that you have made just the biggest mess as your spouse did. You know, at a cocktail party, one woman said to another, aren't you wearing your wedding ring on the wrong finger? She said, yeah, I married the wrong man. You know, there's that. There it is again, the defensiveness. It's all their fault. So watch this. Criticism, whenever you're doing this, criticism leads to contempt, and contempt leads to defensiveness. So here, how do I handle defensiveness? Get ready. Learn to accept responsibility for part of the problem. Listen to this carefully. I can't say this enough. Any relational problem is a shared problem. Any pain you're feeling is a shared pain. Stay connected, learn to listen, come together instead of taking sides. Wow. That sometimes is the hardest thing in the world to do. So now, here we go. 1 Peter 2:23 says, when reviled, do not revile in return, but committed to him who judges righteously. I'm down to the fourth horse. Somebody say amen. Somebody else go, whew. I'm down to the fourth horse. Get ready. Isn't this good stuff? It'll make you grow. All right. Stonewalling. I didn't say Stonewall Jackson. I said Stonewalling. That's what I said. The first time I heard that, somebody said, that's you. I go, all right, Stonewall Jackson. No, this ain't Stonewall Jackson. Matter of fact, I just want you to watch this now. Pay careful attention, because according to psychological surveys, it says that men do the most stonewalling. But the way men do it, they're not as noticed as much as women. So women get the blame for doing most of the stonewalling. But the difference is the woman shows it better than the man. So watch this. Watch this carefully. Now, horse number four, stonewalling. Now, communication's gone. Your relationship is slowly passing you by. Matter of fact, once you start not talking, you're dying. Amen? Think about it. In any relationship in your life, you stop communicating and you've already had these other things on up ahead. Remember, it's in progression. If you've had all these other things, now if you're just not talking to somebody because you ain't seen them, that's one thing. But if you've had all this other stuff in front of you, then guess what? This is starting to kill the relationship. Well, matter of fact, stonewalling rather than confronting. One stops caring, they just disengage, they avoid the fight. Matter of fact, they even begin to withdraw from the relationship. When this begins to happen, watch out. Because the Four Horsemen is a psychological study, and the man that came up with the Four Horsemen, of course, he does it a different way, definitely, but I was going to say is, the man that came up with the Four Horsemen, Gottman, says that he can, within 15 minutes of talking to a couple as he's counseling them, within 15 minutes, he can predict with 91% accuracy whether that marriage will live or die. 91%. Because he says if he starts hearing these things, he knows it's coming. So stonewalling. You withdraw from the relationship. So now you avoid any kind of vulnerability. You evade conversations. You're just not going to deal with it anymore. I just don't want to hear about it. You know, the Henny Youngman, he's one of my best favorite marriage counseling guys. He said, I never knew what real happiness was until I got married, and then it was too late. And then he also said, the secret of a happy marriage remains a secret. I remember I had people sitting in my office one day, and they were fighting. And the wife said, after they got through fighting, the wife said to her husband, you know, I was a fool when I married you. And the husband replied, yes, dear, but I was in love and I didn't notice. Okay. Guys, I know y'all weren't going to laugh at that one. Get ready. All right. The silent treatment. Simply living parallel lives like roommates. Have you ever got to the point where you and your spouse just existed together? Oh, you go to church, everybody looks at you, thinks you're the perfect couple. You go to wherever, and they think, oh, they're just awesome. But when you get home, there's a big old barrier right down the center of the house, and you don't talk to each other. Matter of fact, you know, I remember hearing about this one couple. They've been giving each other the silent treatment, and this man had to catch a plane early in the morning, had to get up extra early. So he wrote a note to his wife, said, can you make sure I'm up by 4:00? And he puts it on her side of the bed. And she goes to bed, she reads the note, he goes to bed in the morning, he wakes up at 7 o'clock. And he gets up and says, I told her to wake me up at 4 o'clock, and now I've messed my plane. And he looks over on his table, and there was a note, wake up, it's 4 o'clock. Stonewalling. We don't need the silent treatment. Because watch this. The problem is, listen to this, the problem still is. Listen to me. The problem still is. Do you know that most people, when they watch this. A lot of people will leave relationships, whether it's with a girlfriend, boyfriend, or with a husband, wife. They will leave relationships usually because of an unresolved conflict. And they think they're going to get into another relationship and everything's going to be hunky-dory. The problem is, when they left the unresolved conflict, they brought the unresolved conflict with them to the next person. And so the unresolved conflict is still within them, their part. And so until they take care of the unresolved conflict within themselves, they're not ready for anybody else. And they're still going to have to resolve the conflict with the other person. You know, I read another study where, you know, that everybody, you know, husbands, do you know that your wife can only meet about 80% of your needs? And wives, you know, husbands can only meet about 80% of your needs. And the problem is, when we're not getting the other 20% met, we start looking out thinking somebody else can handle that 20%, forgetting about the 80%. And so we'll get out of the relationship and go with somebody else for that 20% and realize once we get with them, it's only 20%, you've come up short. And so it would have been better to stay with the 80% and go on ahead and know that nobody can give you 100% except for Jesus. He's the only one. So now watch this. Learn to stay emotionally connected and committed to solving the problem. Ephesians 4:25 says, putting away lying, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for are members of one another, be angry and sin not. Now, I'm getting ready to close. DC, get ready to play something. How do I shut down the slingers and how do I attack the horsemen? How do I do this? How do I make my home a safe place? What do I do if I want to shut down the slingers? If I want to let the horsemen just keep on running, what do I do? Watch this. Number one, I learn to give rather than receive. There is more happiness in giving than receiving. Here it is. Go beyond, I don't deserve this. This is how I ended it last week, but it's part of this one too. Go beyond, I don't deserve this. Every time you get around your spouse and all you can say is, I don't deserve this, I don't deserve this, I don't deserve this, then you are not giving more than receiving. You are receiving more than giving, and nobody's going to make you happy. Nobody. Santa Claus can't make you happy. Number two, focus on healing rather than hurting. Be gentle, ready to forgive, never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Go beyond this. Watch this. You got to go beyond, why me? Why me? Why me? Why me? Why is it always me? Why am I the one that's always got to bear the blood and load? Why am I always? Why am I? You know, this morning's mighty army was agape takes the high road. God's love takes the high road. Amen. Always takes the high road. All right? And that's 1 Corinthians 13. So, and then go, you know, look, and focus on God's power rather than your problem. Trust in God all times, part your hearts to Him. God is our refuge. Watch this. Go beyond the problem. It's too big. You know what? So what if the problem's too big? There's a lot of problems I've got that's too big for me. But I've not found one that's too big for God. Matter of fact, most of my problems are too big. They're bigger than me. Because if they weren't bigger than me, I wouldn't have to go to God. And you say, well, why would God allow us to have all these heavy problems in our life? Because He's trying to teach you to depend on Him. Amen? Here it is. Stop the four horsemen with these antidotes. Watch this. Criticism. Learn to complain without blame. Yeah, that's cool. Complain. I might make a copy of this and put it out there later. Criticism. Complain without blame. Defensiveness. Learn to take some responsibility. You know, I had my wife at the time. I said, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. She says, can you always positive? But today, all you can say is it's not going to work. I said, it's not going to work. She says, look, you've been positive all this other time, and now you're going to be negative on me? You said it's not going to work. I said, okay, I'm positive it's not going to work. Contempt. Build a culture of appreciation. Instead of rolling your eyes and stomping your feet, learn to appreciate one another. Because you know what? There's not a person you know that's all bad, and there's not a person you know that's all good. Everybody you know has got flaws. Everybody you know has got good points and bad points. Amen? Amen? Amen. Remember I told you last week, wives, if you think your husband, you're upset because your husbands aren't perfect, guess what? If they were perfect, they wouldn't have married you. And wives, husbands, you're mad because your wife's not perfect. If they were perfect, they wouldn't have married you. Amen. My favorite song to sing when I'm hurting or my legs are hurting or something, and my wife's, you know, she's hurting, I go put my arm around her and say, my favorite country song, let's fall to pieces together. Stonewalling. That's a fancy word there. Psychological self-soothing, just forget all that. Just learn to be calm and get in there. Let God vindicate you. All right. There they are. Criticism, content, defensiveness, stonewalling. The four horsemen of the marriage apocalypse. Watch this. How many... You see all these movies about apocalypse. There's two things in the Bible. There's the books of the Bible that are beyond the 66 books that are in the Catholic Bible and some of the other Protestant Bibles. And it's called the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha means hidden. The apocalypse does not mean all this stuff falling all to pieces like people do in their movies. Apocalypse Now, blah, blah, blah. Apocalypse means to reveal. Thus the word revelation. And so your marriage does not have to be on the rocks even today. But if you've got the information now, it's been revealed to you. Get rid of criticism, content, defensiveness, and stonewalling. Matter of fact, why don't you do this? I love this. Well, here it goes. Here it goes. You can tell those riders to keep on riding. I'm sorry, I don't need a ride. You keep on going. I don't need you to pick me up. And watch what God will do. How many once you're home to be a safe place? Amen. Come on, DC. Play something. I had a guy tell me one time, he said a man stole his credit card. A man told me that his credit card was stolen, but he decided not to report it because the thief was spending less money than his wife did. Another guy said, when a man steals your wife, there's no better revenge than let him keep her. And then my favorite, I haven't spoken to my wife in 18 months. I don't like to interrupt her. We're not equal. Men and women are not equal. Matter of fact, women will never be equal to men until they can walk down the street with a bald head and a beer gut and people still think they're beautiful. All right. Everybody stand. Now, before we leave, we're going to also ask the blessing on the food. So when you go over, you can just go and start eating. We'll go ahead and say it over here. But before we ask God to bless the food, I want God to bless us. If your spouse is here with you, I want you to hold their hand. And I want you to lift it. First, I want to pray for that. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch every marriage here. Minister mightily to them and through them. Let them feel your peace. Let them feel your comfort. Let them feel your hope. And God, if they have found themselves allowing any of the four horsemen to come into their relationship, let them this day, with your help, tell that horse to keep on riding. If there's any slingers, God, if I'm a victim of a slinger or I am a slinger, help it stop. God, I love you and I trust you. And I know that you've got our best interests at heart. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us in a very, very powerful way. And in all of our relationships, help us to keep the four horsemen out of it, because the four horsemen will actually wind up bruising spirits, and bruising spirits wind up causing unnecessary stonewalling. I ask you right now, Father, to help us all to be like you. Agape always takes the high road. Always takes the high road. If there's anybody here right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to just ask this question one time. Nobody's looking. Nobody look around. If you've got one of those horsemen banging at your door, or you find yourself riding with some of those horsemen, and you just want me to pray that God helps you, with nobody looking around, you don't even have to keep it up. Just put it up and put it back down. Yes, I'm having a problem with those horsemen, and I need you, God, to help. Can you just slide that hand up, slide it up, and just put it right back down? I need help with those horsemen. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them mightily, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And then, if you're here today, and let's go beyond that. You're here today, and you find a situation in your marriage and or in your relationships that seem beyond hope, and you're needing God to take care of it. And once He takes care of it, then you got to let Him do it, not you. Can you just raise a hand and help me, Lord, to keep my hand out of it? There you go. Help me to keep my hand out of it, Lord, and you take care of it. Now, one more. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Or maybe you did know Him, but you've run so hard in the other direction that you don't know if you know Him anymore or not. Would you just raise that hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me, Pastor. I am not even sure where I stand. Now, we're all going to pray this prayer together. And if you want to come up and pray separately, that's fine. But we're going to pray this prayer together. I want y'all all to say this with me. Lord, I give you all of me, everything I am, everything I have, everything I will be, everything I hope to be is in your hands. I ask you right now to let me renew my life and my spirit in you. God, I come to you with nothing in my hand but me. I need you, Lord. This day is your day. And this day, I trust you. And I rededicate my life in the name of Jesus. Now just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, is there anybody that needs any more prayer for anything? The altars are open. If you have another reason to pray, the altars are open. They're waiting. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. All right, we're going to pray for the food right now. As we pray for this food, remember, when you go over there, it'll all be blessed, it'll all be ready to go. You can just go over there and start eating. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be here at homecoming. I ask you right now, Lord, to bless the food, bless the hands that prepared it. I ask you, God, to bless those that are here to enjoy it. Lord, I thank you for this time of fellowship and this time of renewal. I ask you right now to bless each and every one. And when we leave here this day, let us leave here with hope. Not only for a good meal and good fellowship and reconnecting, but God, that we can also reconnect in our own relationships once we know about the stone or stone throwers and know about the four horsemen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for all you do for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen.